This is the Arts Connection on 90.7, and each year we start the fall season with a look at what's new with local arts groups. At Rawlings College, part of what's new is the return of Thomas Ouellette as the chair of the Department of Theater and Dance. He's returning after a year-long sabbatical.
I thought it was important to return to the field as an actor and director, which is really what I teach, and to sort of increase my currency in the classroom. I wanted to make sure that I was not just teaching people to do things I wasn't doing anymore. So I directed a couple of shows, both in town and out of town, and I appeared in a show at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., did a run of that. So I worked both as an actor and as a director over the course of about 8 of the 12 months.
Thomas Ouellette has taught at Rawlings for 10 years and feels that the strength of the department is their size.
I tell prospective students all the time that if you come here, you can't hide. There's no back of the classroom. We know where you live. And, you know, I'm teaching a directing class I just finished with 4 students in it. Now, that's small. They're not all that small, but the fact that that kind of environment exists here really makes a difference. If there are 4 students, directing students in your class, you can be sure that they're getting a lot of attention and being pushed and challenged in ways that I think are really important. This is a difficult profession we're preparing people for, and I like the way we're doing that right now.
The theater departments at all the area colleges, Rawlings, UCF, Seminole, and Valencia, usually offer quite a variety of styles in their season. They're not just trying to build an audience, they are providing a broad range of experiences for their students. And Thomas Ouellette has found that the audience enjoys watching these young actors.
Our subscribers, when they're polled, tell us that, in fact, precisely the reason they come is to watch students progress through the process. They love to take ownership of a particular, you know, senior who they've watched stumble through and really sort of develop and study in class and evolve on stage. And people come to see the students and see what the students can do. You know, I came from professional theater, so I think in some ways, 10 years ago, was trying to apologize for the academic theater as opposed to saying, let's embrace this, and this is, in fact, what audiences want to see. That's why they come to the Annie, is to see young, emerging theater artists.
There are 2 series at Rawlings College that give you that opportunity, shows at the Annie Russell Theater and a second stage series at the Fred Stone Theater that's entirely run by students. The Annie season opens this weekend with Irving Berlin's musical, Annie Get Your Gun.
That is the revival version of Annie Get Your Gun. And it's actually a very interesting production. The director is named Jennifer Jones Cavanaugh, who comes to us from LSU, Louisiana State University, where she is a feminist scholar. So it's very interesting for a feminist to tackle Annie Get Your Gun, which in many ways is not the prototypical feminist vehicle. There also are some issues of race in addition to the issues about gender. And it actually serves as a hook for what we're trying to do with this season across the board, which is to reinvent and reimagine a bunch of titles that people are familiar with, that people would expect as fair from the Annie Russell Theater, but to look at them in slightly different ways. Look at them askew, if you will.
The revival version of Annie Get Your Gun is quite different from the original. Songs have been cut or rearranged, and the script has been updated.
This is a guess, but I would say about a third of the book has been altered in some ways, or updated, or made more accessible to a modern audience with a modern sensibility. And I think that's important. The score is unbelievable. It's Irving Berlin, and so I'm so glad that this hasn't become a piece that people used to like to see or that used to be palatable in some ways. It's now absolutely current and raises a lot of interesting issues and actually is sort of feminist. She was a very strong woman in a time when women were expected not to be toting guns and running things. And she is not squashed at the end. She remains exactly who she is. And the world at large and her own world adapt to her rather than in any other way. So to me, it's an entirely valid and interesting look at this woman.
Thomas Ouellette is chair of the Department of Theater and Dance at Rawlings College and producing director of the Annie Russell Theater. Performances of Annie Get Your Gun are this Friday and Saturday at 8 and Sunday at 4, and then Wednesday through Friday at 8, and the show closes Saturday, September 30th, with performances at 2 and 8.
There's no business like show business, like no business I know. Everything about it is appealing, everything the traffic will allow. Nowhere could you get that happy feeling when you are stealing that extra bow.
Other shows in the Annie season are Agatha Christie's Mousetrap, Neil Simon's Rumors, and Shakespeare's Henry V. And the Fred Stone Second Stage will feature comedies by Neil LaBute and Woody Allen, as well as an original play by a Rawlings student. For information, call 407-646-2145. Our next stop for season previews is a company that's been in the area for 21 years, Florida Children's Repertory Theater. They're a professional company of adult actors providing theater for young people, both in the schools and for school field trips. Doreen Hurd is the artistic director, and they have 4 shows planned this year.
We're very excited this year that we're going back to the Dinner Theater. It's now the Starlight Dinner Theater under new management, and we were there when it was the Orlando Broadway Dinner Theater. And for a year, we've been in another venue, but we're very excited to go back to Starlight.
Florida Children's Repertory Theater performs Sunday afternoons at the Starlight, and they have 3 weekday shows for school field trips and other groups, as well as the general public. Their first show opens this Sunday, and it's called The Magical Piñata.
There is nothing like a fiesta in Mexico, full of colorful dance celebration. There is nothing like a fiesta in Mexico, I know music and the joy jubilation. Fiesta's a long tradition.
Natasha Harrison, Ben Rush, and Marianne Romano are featured in this show by Mexican playwright Karen Zacarias.
The Magical Piñata is only a couple of years old, and so we're very excited. It's a bilingual play. It has Spanish in it, and also, of course, English. Everything that's Spanish is translated so that anybody who does not speak Spanish will still enjoy the play. And it is a musical. Some of the songs in it are actually Mexican folk songs. The story is about a young girl named Cucha who is very selfish, and it's her birthday. She gets a birthday present, well, several birthday presents, and she doesn't like them. And one of the presents is a magical piñata, but to her it's just a big, brown, ugly clay pot, and she doesn't like it. So she's transported into a magical jungle where she meets Señor Cumpleaños, who is Mr. Birthday, and he introduces her to Burro Burrito and Parrot Rivera, and the Monkey King is the evil in the jungle who wants to snatch the piñata so that he can be king of the jungle. But they foil him in the end, and of course, then Cucha learns to share because the magical piñata has 3 wonderful gifts inside it.
Doreen Hurd is the director of the Florida Children's Repertory Theater. The Magical Piñata opens this Sunday, and the company is returning to the Starlight Dinner Theater in College Park. Performances are Sundays at 1:30 and Mondays, Tuesdays, and Fridays at 10:15 in the morning. They also will take this show into the schools. If you'd like to learn more, visit the Arts Connection online at WMFE.org. In December, they'll present Doreen's adaptation of The Snow Queen, with music by local playwright John Goring. Their February production is Jack and the Wonder Beans, a new take on Jack and the Beanstalk that's set in the Appalachian Mountains. And they'll close the season in March and April with another Hans Christian Andersen classic, Nightingale. For information, call 407-657-4483 or log on to WMFE.org. Finally, we return to Rawlings College to preview the upcoming season at the Cornell Fine Arts Museum. They reopened to great fanfare last January after a major renovation and expansion. Now that that project is finished, the Cornell's director, Dr. Arthur Blumenthal, has taken a sabbatical, and the museum's new curator, Luann McKinnon, is also acting director. The first set of three exhibitions opened earlier this month, and they explore the landscape in both literal and figurative art. The first is called Tranquil Vistas,
which is a 19th century exhibition, very, very beautiful, small paintings, some of them by the most well-known 19th century painters in America, where you would see other examples, like at the Met, the Whitney of Chicago Art Institute. The second exhibition, which follows the notion of the landscape in America specifically, is called Revising Arcadia. And this exhibition is a contemporary show of photography, mixed media, and painting that includes some of the most important American contemporary artists, such as Ed Ruscha, William Wegman, and we have a wonderful array of photography in this exhibition, which is fairly new to the Cornell.
The idea of Arcadia, is does Arcadia refer to a period, or what is Arcadia?
That's an excellent question. The word Arcadia is a word that is both geographic and it represents a state of being. Arcadia is a part of southern Greece and the southern peninsula called the Peloponnese. And in classical literature, especially the literature and the poetry of Virgil, this was idealized as the pastoral, rural point of view and way of life that all humans should basically aspire to, and this was romanticized through the Renaissance and up through the 17th and 18th centuries. To use the word Arcadia not as location but as an adjective, meaning Arcadian, is simply something that is pure and rural and sentimental, perhaps idyllic. But if you put the word revising Arcadia, that puts the spin on it. And so the works in the contemporary show by Ed Ruscha, by William Wegman, by Richard Mizrach, by Skeet McCauley, by Vernon Fisher, artists from New York, Los Angeles, Houston, Philadelphia, San Francisco, these are all works that address the problems of our world as it is and the way in which nature and the natural world has been threatened through urban civilization, technological regress, quote-unquote progress, the virtualization of our world, energy policies. And so attendant to Revising Arcadia, we have built an environmental and a landscape film series. And this will be occurring just about every Sunday at 3 p.m. with a film that addresses these current issues of landscape or the environment.
And this Sunday's film is a classic, Silent Spring by Rachel Carson.
This is a basically a story about the very, very courageous and extraordinary work of Rachel Carson, who almost single-handedly made the environmental movement in America happen through her research and through her pronouncement as a scientist slash novelist in the book Silent Spring. And the film that we are showing is narrated in part by Meryl Streep as the voice of Rachel Carson, and it tells the very important story beginning in the 50s of the environmental movement. But we also have several other extremely important films that have won Academy Awards and Pulitzer for environmental issues, including Per Lorenz's The River from 1938 and Robert Flaherty's Louisiana Story from 1946, both of which are masterpieces in the film landscape genre.
Virgil Thompson's music for the 1948 film Louisiana Story. It's the only piece of music ever to win a Pulitzer Prize. You can see that film on October 22nd, and another film scored by Virgil Thompson, The River, will be shown October 15th. These films at the Cornell Fine Arts Museum are part of a weekly environmental and landscape film series that's a companion to the exhibits on landscape art. The third exhibit in the series features more imaginary landscapes. It's a major collection of works by one of the leading 20th century photographers, Jerry Yulsman.
We have the extraordinary opportunity to have worked with Jerry, and the Cornell Fine Arts Museum exhibition is preceding two world retrospectives, one in Verona, Italy, and one in Beijing, China, which will follow our small show. No less significant, I would like to add, no less beautiful. Jerry Yulsman is recognized as one of the major photographers in the canon of contemporary photography of the last 40 years. And the exhibition Mindscapes, Earth and Sky is an overview of 40 years of Jerry Yulsman's landscape photography. Although he was a person who studied with the great masters Ansel Adams and Minor White, among others, Jerry created a new vein, a new technique in photography wherein he would layer negatives so that you might have a pair of lips on a road set within a forest with a cloud that has a waterfall in the middle of it. These are surrealist, almost dreamlike landscapes.
Jerry Yulsman will be in town for a lecture on October 12th. And that night, the Cornell will premiere a new media documentary about Yulsman by filmmaker Daniel Reeves. We spoke to Luann McKinnon, curator and the acting director of the Cornell Fine Arts Museum. The Landscape series runs through the end of the year. The museum is open Tuesday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 5 and Sundays from 1 to 5. They're on the campus of Rawlings College. For information, call 407-646-2526 or, as always, visit us online at the Arts Connection page of WMFE.org. Be sure to join me again next time when we'll have some more season previews and literary contributor Irene Zabitko will be back with a conversation with a children's author whose book about the Jewish High Holy Days is being turned into a play. I'm Becky Morgan. Thanks for listening. Be sure to visit us online at WMFE.org and tune in again next week for WMFE's Arts Connection.